You're listening to Civic Media. You can tune into any of our live shows on any radio station across the state with the Civic Media app. Find us in your phone's app store and listen anytime, anywhere.
Good morning. Welcome to Matinair on Air. Jane Matinair, Greg Bach, Calvin Butenoff, coming to you live from our studio at Radio Park in Racine. You can always join us. Call or text. The number is the same, 855-752-4842. Leave a comment if you're watching on the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and what used to be Twitter. It is Thursday. We always have a busy show on Thursdays.
Super busy.
Jim Santel, our friend and colleague here at Civic, he hosts Amicus, a law review on Saturdays from 9 to 11 across the network. He is a former U.S. attorney and an acting attorney. Mm-hmm. He's going to be joining us after the 9:30 news. We did share the breaking news very briefly yesterday about the Supreme Court race in North Carolina.
The 2024 elections are done.
Are finally done. There was this, long, drawn-out question over ballots in North Carolina that was finally resolved yesterday. So we're going to talk to Jim Santel about that. There are many, many other things that are not necessarily going well for the Trump administration, courtesy of some Trump-appointed judges.
What?
I know. I don't think he thought it was going to go that way. Didn't he call them my judges?
Yeah.
They're mine.
I mean, and he also doesn't seem to have a really good friend on the Supreme Court either, in one Amy Coney Barrett either, which is very odd.
And John Roberts also made an appearance that's getting some attention. Of course, he never mentions the president by name.
No.
But he took some jabs, apparently. Mm-hmm. In the most John Roberts of ways.
Very Wisconsin, passive aggressive.
Ooh, bink.
It wouldn't be good bink. If you did that.
Yeah, you probably shouldn't do that, you know. Brittany Merlot will be here for Weather and Wine at around 10:20, and we are so proud of Brittany. Picked up 3 number one awards at the Wisconsin Broadcasters Association Awards last weekend.
Our sports guy, Jimmy Koska, refers to her as Brit 3 Merlot.
I love Brit
3 Merlot. Brit 3 Merlot.
I love it. Well deserved for Brittany Merlot. She will be joining us next hour, as will the Acme Packing Company's sports guru, Paul Noonan, will be here. Brewers lost last night, but they were on a streak before that.
Yeah, they had won a few games. That's nice,
which is good.
But they got crushed by the Astros. You know, the 2017 Astro cheaters.
Well, yes. But I do want to talk to him as well. Giannis Antetokounmpo of the Bucks has a new TV ad out.
Yeah.
With one of his little daughters.
Aww.
Oh, it is going to make it. I'm a squish, but it's adorable.
I love Giannis.
It's just adorable. And then we'll wrap up the show as we always do with This Shouldn't Be a Thing. Thank you, Calvin. This one's the Drinks on Me edition. So stay tuned for that. Just a reminder, also, starting tomorrow, you have a chance to pick up a 4-pack of Milwaukee Brewers tickets. Not you, Greg.
Me? Oh,
no.
Man, every time.
Everyone who is listening, you will have 5 chances to enter tomorrow. You want to listen to Pat Kreitlow or mm-hmm. whatever morning show you listen to. Then our show, Matinair on Air, Tom Hartman from 11 to 2, Todd Alba 2 to 4, Maggie Dawn from 4 to 6. Starting tomorrow, we will have again a word for you to text in this statewide text to win contest. And then everyone in the running to pick up a 4-pack of Milwaukee Brewers tickets. If you would like to check out all the official rules, you can find them at civicmedia.us. Check it out on the website. Wanted to start off with a little update. We talked about this a little bit yesterday. Wisconsin's very own Sean Duffy, you know, our new head of the Department of Transportation.
Yeah. The Duffmeister.
It does seem to be a hallmark of this administration. And you had mentioned this as we were getting ready for the show. It's like when you're a kid.
Yeah.
And you break something.
Mm-hmm.
And mom comes in and says, who did this?
Jane did it. No, I didn't do it.
He did over there.
Yep, they did it.
It was my brother.
It's not my fault.
It was my sister.
It's their fault.
I didn't do it.
Nope, they did.
Yep, so that's pretty much the entire Trump administration. Nothing is ever their fault.
No, never.
Ever.
I mean, the fact when that department admitted that they had incorrectly deported Kilmar Abrego Garcia, mm-hmm. I was actually like, whoa, they admitted to a wrong. They admitted it was their fault.
In the tiniest of ways.
But that is just a small pebble in the sea.
So Sean Duffy, of course, making the rounds yesterday, blaming everything wrong with the FAA now on Pete Buttigieg, who is the Biden administration's head of the Department of Transportation.
Who is currently not the Secretary of Transportation.
He is not.
Correct.
He is not. And I also find it interesting that the problems at the FAA only go back to the previous 4 years, not the previous eight.
No.
When Donald Trump was in office the first time.
Yeah.
And apparently these same issues were not addressed under that Trump administration either.
Yeah. Pat had spoken about this earlier in the morning, and they had said Pete Buttigieg had brought these concerns to the table, but Congress didn't want to vote on it, or they voted it down, or they just didn't. It wasn't a big deal right now. Don't worry about it.
I did find a little something.
A little?
A little something awesome. From Lever News. In the spring of 2012, shortly after Sean Duffy was elected here in Wisconsin.
Yes.
And he defeated Pat Gritlow.
Yeah.
In 2012, shortly after Duffy took office, the GOP-controlled House was deliberating on an aviation spending bill. After negotiations had dragged out for years, at the very last minute, a representative from Pennsylvania tagged on an amendment that would have limited the FAA's authority to impose safety measures on the aviation industry.
I'm sorry, would you read that again?
I'll speak slowly. At the last minute, they tried to tag on an amendment that would have limited the FAA's authority to impose safety measures on the aviation industry. Regulators would have been forced to justify the cost of any safety regulations to the airline industry. Even with a whole bunch of Republicans in the House at that time, the vote on the amendment was really close. Sean Duffy voted in favor of it.
Oh, really?
He did. Sean Duffy voted in favor for a law that limited the FAA's authority to impose safety measures on the aviation industry. Now, ultimately, even though that amendment did pass, by the time the bill made it for its final vote, it had been cut out of it.
Yeah.
But again, Sean Duffy voted in favor of that.
Sean Duffy, current Secretary of Transportation. And one of the articles I was reading in preparation of that was saying that when he was nominated for this position, the airline industry was so happy because they knew they had a friend in Sean because of deregulation and laxed rules. Because just before they came into power, I almost said Bose, Boeing was going through a nightmare of problems, and the government was trying to hold them accountable. Don't worry about it. They'll get it taken care of. It's fine.
You cut a few corners. What could go wrong?
Just make sure by next Wednesday they're fine, and I won't even check because I don't really care. But yeah, Sean Duffy is taking the Trump train to blame town, just like all of his other little cabinet secretaries who cannot seem to take responsibility for anything, and also just really don't know what they're doing because they're not qualified to be in those positions.
Seriously. Remember Chelsea Sullenberger? Captain Sully?
His first name is Chelsea?
His first name is Chelsea. Chesley. Chesley, sorry.
I just want to say really Chesley. Quick. I love traditional female names on men. They always sound good. But I didn't know that. Go on. Sully.
Sully Sullenberger.
Yeah.
He was the guy, the miracle on the Hudson, that whole thing.
Yeah.
They got hit by birds as they were taking off and managed to land on the water. Nobody got killed. Nobody got hurt. It was astonishing. There's a great movie with Tom Hanks in the starring role.
Yeah.
That's definitely worth watching. At the time, Captain Sully said this amendment that Sean Duffy voted for was, quote, a giant step backwards in terms of aviation safety, warning that if it became law at some point in the future, we don't know when, it's likely people will die unnecessarily. Again, ultimately, the measure failed.
Yes.
But Sean Duffy at the time did vote for it.
Mm-hmm. And I hate to tell you so. I mean, and Sully, if you listen to him in interviews, he's not some crunchy hippie liberal. He's just a straight ahead guy. He doesn't push one agenda or the other. But I would take his word on this, his expertise.
Absolutely.
And the problem is it's too late. People have already died. People have already died because of the ineptitude of this administration, that department run by that man who voted against regulating, or I'm sorry, not regulating, allowing the FAA to impose regulations.
Safety regulations.
What are we doing right now?
And the other thing that I did not realize, this is my own ignorance, after he left Congress in 2019, Sean Duffy worked as a lobbyist for BGR Group. At the time, that included fighting subsidies received by airlines' foreign rivals.
Mm-hmm.
He also lobbied on behalf of automakers and fossil fuel interests. And he lobbied for Polaris, an auto manufacturer. He also worked on behalf of the Partnership for Open and Fair Skies, a coalition of airlines, including American, Delta, and United. So he was lobbying for the airlines.
Mm-hmm.
And nothing airlines love more than regulations and safety requirements.
Yeah, and Sean is their guy. Make sure they don't have to be responsible for. I don't know. Like, I don't understand I don't understand why an airline would want less regulation. If you open yourself up to more lawsuits if there aren't regulations, and it just blows my mind completely that they would be like, yeah, let's totally be without oversight. That makes sense.
Let's not also forget that right when the Trump administration took over, they started firing people almost instantaneously.
Yes.
And a whole bunch of people from the FAA got fired.
And
a whole bunch of air traffic controllers.
In the articles we will be posting, that information will be in there. Yes. They fired air traffic controllers, and they said, then what did they do? The same thing when they fired all the other people. They said, oh, no.
We need those
people.
We
need them. So instead of saying, come on back, we will reinstate your jobs. Now Sean Duffy is looking at ways they can extend these individuals' retirements. Air traffic controlling is one of the most stressful jobs, at least in this country, if not the world. It stresses them out, and 56 is when they get to retire. I don't think a lot of them are going to want to stay any longer unless they really love it. And it has a hard impact on your life. But he said, we want them to serve their country.
Do it for the good.
Do it for the
country. Do it for the greater good.
Yeah, do it for me because I really need it.
If you'd like to join our conversation, 855-752-4842. You are listening to Matt and Air on Air. We'll be right back on the Civic Media Radio Network.
And she starts to cry. She takes a swing, man. She can't hit. She don't mean no harm. She just don't know what else to do about it. Jane says.
You're listening to Civic Media. Stay up to date on the latest news and information for your local community and Wisconsin by signing up for our free email newsletter. Visit civicmedia.us/email to get started.
Good Good morning. Welcome. Welcome to Matinair on Air. Jane Matinair, Greg Bach, and the Board Lord coming to you from our studio at Radio Park in Racine. No matter where you are in the States, say you're in Hayward listening to WBZH. Ooh. You can always join us, call or text. The number is the same, 855-752-4842. You can also leave a comment if you're watching in the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and what used to be Twitter. After the 9:30 news, Jim Santel will be here. Jim hosts Amicus, a law review, every Saturday from 9 to 11 across the network. Among other things, we're going to talk about the, finally, they have an end of the 2024 election.
Looks like we made it.
In North Carolina, the Supreme Court race there. So Jim Santel will be joining us to kick that around. Also, some of the recent decisions from some judges appointed by Donald Trump not voting in his favor. It's interesting. So that's coming up after the 9:30 news. Right now, though, we are talking about our Transportation Secretary, Sean Duffy, Wisconsin's own. I didn't do it, Mom.
Yep.
Billy did it.
It's
Billy
Pete,
did it.
Pete
it
was, did it.
Pete did it. Pete did it. It's Pete's fault.
It's Pete's fault.
Sean Duffy all over the place. They sure spend a lot of time on TV.
Oh, my.
They really do.
He is on an inordinate amount of television.
Just like Ron Johnson. Sean Duffy's all over the place blaming problems with the FAA now on Pete Buttigieg, the previous head of the Department of Transportation. And I did not realize that before Sean was elected or got this position, he was lobbying on behalf of the airline industry.
Yeah, and he also cast a very interesting vote.
He did. Back when he was in the House in Wisconsin, he voted against a measure that would have allowed the FAA to institute more safety regulations on the airline industry. And Sean voted against that. Mm-hmm. Ultimately, that measure failed.
Mm-hmm.
But he still voted against it.
Still says a lot.
And I also did not realize this. At one point, Duffy appeared on Fox, of course.
When?
To criticize Pete Buttigieg, his investigation into Southwest Airlines. You got to remember this. In 2023, remember that holiday traffic meltdown?
Yeah.
Where millions of people were stranded all over the country?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, Pete Buttigieg wanted to do an investigation into Southwest. Sean Duffy instead called for more deregulation of the airline industry.
Cool.
Quote, Southwest will fix this. Pete Buttigieg never will.
Because when problems arise, always leave it to the billion-dollar corporations to take care
of it. They'll do the right thing.
For the interest of the people.
They'll do the right thing. Anna on the live stream says, there is not one person in the Trump administration that takes responsibility. I call them the blame and shame party. They always lash out and say it's the left lunatics. It is exhausting.
It really, really is exhausting because we're sitting here talking about this information, diving deep into the nuanced discussion of it all, and giving you, because when I looked up Sean Duffy blames Pete Buttigieg, the first three hits are all Fox News. So I'm like, it's not a credible discussion. So you have to dig deeper.
Yes.
And we want to get information to you. And I'm sure none of you listening to us right now are surprised that it's all Pete Buttigieg's fault. When you just dig, like, say, like a Google search below that, you're going to find out it's really not his fault. And Sean Duffy is placing the blame other places and just doing what the Trump administration does, which is never take responsibility.
Well, and again, I go back to it's remarkable to me that all of these problems only surfaced within the last 4 years,
mm-hmm.
not the 4 years prior to that.
No,
when Donald Trump was in office and I guess could have done something about it then. Maybe not.
He couldn't because Barack Obama had messed everything up before him and so on and so forth. It's never Donnie's fault.
Well, if the current administration is going to continue their path, I would think, because we just lost another Super Hornet fighter jet yesterday.
What are the things, like $80
million? They're $60 million apiece.
Guess what? We pay for that.
This is the second one that we've lost from the USS Harry Truman aircraft into the Red Sea.
God.
The second lost jet in just over a week. So, hey, Pete Hegseth, come on, step up. Blame the previous administration. Here's your chance. Don't let it slip by.
Yeah, yeah. And I guess the ultimate point, too, is that, like, we're telling you this information. I'm sure 98% of you are not shocked, but there's a 2% who goes, no, that's not true. It doesn't matter what we tell them.
Well, yeah.
Facts. We're always wrong.
Yeah.
It's always someone else's fault.
Absolutely. Yeah. Just like your five-year-old at home.
I have a five-year-old at home?
Billy, did you break the glass? No, Mommy, I didn't break the glass. Billy didn't.
Yeah, it's...
Or the dog. Or the cat.
Always blame the cat.
Maybe they should get a cat. Maybe a white. They need a White House cat.
Cabinet secretary, meow, meow, man. Oh,
I love it.
I love it.
News coming up next. When we return, Jim Santel will be here to talk all things law. You are listening to Matt Nair on Air across the Civic Media Radio Network. Stay close.
Yes, I'm gonna be a star. Maybe you can drive my car.
Good morning. Welcome to Matt Nair on Air. Jane Matt Nair, Greg Bach, Dr. Slide on the board, coming to you from our studio here at Radio Park in Racine. No matter where you are listening, you can always join us, call and or text. The number is the same, 855-752-4842. Leave a comment if you're watching on the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and what used to be Twitter. Coming up later on today from 4 to 6, the Maggie Dawn Show. Maggie will have a special edition focusing on cyber crimes. In the first hour, she'll have John DeMay on, a Michigan dad whose son took his own life over sextortion. I'm familiar with this story. It's absolutely tragic. And something that is happening with a lot more frequency than I think people realize.
Yes.
So really important. Join Maggie this afternoon when she talks to John DeMay, a father from Michigan whose son took his own life because of sextortion, and how you can protect your kids and make sure they're aware of this. That's on the Maggie Dawn Show today, coming up from 4 to 6 p.m. across the Civic Media Radio Network. He joins us every Thursday at this time. He is the host of Amicus, a law review on Saturdays from 9 to 11. Former U.S. Attorney and Acting Attorney Jim Santel is here. Good morning, Jim.
Jane, Greg, always a delight to be with you. Always some things to talk about in America and Wisconsin and beyond. What a good world we live in.
Yeah,
right?
remarkably, there is always something. We kind of jumped in yesterday as this broke, and we didn't have a whole lot of time to get into it because we knew you were going to be joining us today. But this decision finally in North Carolina that has been dragging out since the 2024 election over this Supreme Court race, the incumbent who is a Democrat, and then the Republican challenger, who it seemed to me went to remarkable lengths to try and throw out votes. And that did not work out well for him in the end.
It did not. And in the end, consistent with the thing we seem to always talk about when we get together on Thursday mornings, is a federal judge comes to the rescue, if you will, of the rule of law and finally says enough is enough. Not quite in those terms, but says, among other things, there have been three recounts. And in fairness to this situation, 5.5 million votes cast in North Carolina for this Supreme Court race. A margin of 734. That's very, very close.
Absolutely.
No doubt about it.
That's a tiny margin.
It is. It is. And so it can't fault Judge Jefferson Griffin. He is the challenger for at least asking for the recounts going down this road. But to your point, Jane, this is the big story. Enough is enough. This has been all over the board. Three different recounts went into the state Supreme Court for a while. Judges high and low looking at this. And state Supreme Court actually sort of a mixed review on all this, sort of giving Judge Griffin some reason to continue. In the end, the federal court says this is clear, that Justice Allison Riggs, she is the incumbent, she's the Democrat about whom you spoke, has won, admittedly by a small margin. And as many people have said, this is trying to change the rules after the game has been played.
Yes.
And it's because, again, Jefferson Griffin, he's an appeals court judge there making the challenge. He says that 65,000 ballots either should be thrown or at least looked at because of military eligibility having to do with the IDs, not supported by the law. 300 other voters, they're called never residents, also not supported by the law. And he continues to advance these empty theories to get this case overturned. Finally, once again, the federal court says, no, we're not interfering here. We are appropriately putting this to an end. And so Justice Allison Riggs, the last of all the votes nationwide to be certified coming in from November. The other reason why this is so important, I know that you and Greg are talking about this because we forget North Carolina is an awful lot like Wisconsin.
Yes.
It's a fractured state, right, Jane?
Yep.
And among other things, it went to Donald Trump in the same time that they elected a Democratic governor. His name is Josh Stein. They also have this very bifurcated view of who they want to send to positions of responsibility. And again, that's the reason why we look to North Carolina. As the attorney general said in the end, this was not a case that had any merit from the beginning. But I really admire him. His name is Jeff Jackson. He says from the beginning, this was an attempt to twist the law to reverse the outcome of a legitimate election. This attack didn't work. And here's the point that you're making. But there's a real risk that other losing candidates might try the same attack in the future.
Absolutely.
North Carolina, Wisconsin, other places, endless battles. That are not based upon the law.
Well, and I think it's important that when, even just going back to the recount, because originally she only won by like 600 and some votes. After they did the recount, she picked up even more. So that's what brought it to the 700. And this happened in Wisconsin when Donald Trump requested a recount, and we did it, maybe the Trump campaign paid for it, but they found more votes for Joe Biden in 2020. And so when that doesn't work, when that avenue doesn't work, it seems to me, that's when they start looking at these other things. Well, this didn't work for us. What's our next option? Where can we start X-ing out and throwing out some of these ballots based on, as you said, changing the rules after the fact? That's essentially what they were trying to do.
Right. And throwing out ballots of military voters overseas, right, based upon, again, an unsupported notion that somehow they had to present ID, which they did not under North Carolina law. It's so very cynical, in addition to being just plain wrong. This other notion, 300 votes, I suppose if each one of those had gone in the opposite direction, you'd chip away half of that. But also the notion that there are people who are voting who are not properly living there in North Carolina, also not supported by the facts and the law. To your point, Jane, this notion, let's look around to see what else we can allege, even though there's no basis for it. And the big lesson, again, from the Attorney General for all of us here in the state of Wisconsin, plainly we know that elections will continue to be contested. Let's not make this Griffin-Riggs battle, if you will, a precedent. Let's recognize that, yes, you can do the recounts. They may be close, and maybe you go into court on one of them and you say, gee, there's some issues about the recount that we want to address. That's, again, the due process about which we talk
right.
routinely on this wonderful broadcast. But then at some point you stop and you say, as again, Judge Griffin said just yesterday, okay, I'm finally conceding. Huge amounts of money, huge amounts yeah. of pleadings and arguments. And the losers here really are the people of North Carolina who spent a huge amount of money also on all of this frivolous, virtually from the start.
Yeah, the North Carolina taxpayers are the ones who were put on the hook for this. This has to be millions and millions and millions of dollars dragging this out to this extent. And the other thing I think it's important to point out, which also has echoes of what has happened in Wisconsin, when they were looking at ballots that they wanted to toss, they focused specifically on five or six different areas that were much more Democratic than mm-hmm. Republican.
Yes.
Right. So you pick and choose, as you can imagine. Federal judges don't especially like that when you go in and say, here's the hand I've been dealt, but I'm only going to present you with two of the cards,
yeah,
right?
Yeah.
Any judges, federal judges, state judges, will always look at you and say, well, let's see the entire hand to make certain that this is not cherry picking, to mix metaphors here. And plainly that was going on here. We try. And again, high marks, Judge Griffin, for tenacity. But at what cost? At what cost to the American public, to the North Carolinians, to the bank books there of the coffers in North Carolina, and frankly, to justice generally? You delayed this now for ever since November, and you've gotten a result that frankly was decided way back in November.
If you're just joining us, our guest is Jim Santel. He's the host of Amicus, the Law Review, Saturdays across Civic Media from 9 to 11, also an acting attorney.
Yeah, you brought up the point, Jane, that I was going to make about the votes, the ballots they want to throw out coming out from Democratic counties. Pat had on Michael McElroy on this morning, excuse me, who is a Courier News reporter for the Cardinal and Pine, has been covering this for a while. I'm going to put his article in the show notes about this. But the thing that, you know, always worries me, too, is that, all right, he may have failed in his endeavor to overthrow this election, but who's the next person who's going to come in and say, well, let's just do it a little differently and maybe it'll work this time. So it's about what I said to you before about Donald Trump, is the bar is low. There's always going to be someone who's going to come in and say, I can go lower.
Watch this.
Right, right. And you've also, to your good point, Greg, you've deposited this notion out there, even though it's completely frivolous, completely unfounded, that, you know what, there's an issue about military ballots or an issue yeah. about people who are not here. And you repeat it enough, and that is the playbook of our president,
yes.
right? You repeat this absolutely unfounded stuff, and eventually you wake up and you say, well, gee, if it's been talked about at this great length, maybe there's something here, mm-hmm. and maybe the next time, Greg, as you're not predicting, but foreboding here, maybe that takes more, it takes as more credence, and maybe there's some judge, we get a different judge who says, well, yeah, let me take a look at that, because it's been out and about. That's also the horrific danger of this.
And we saw a lot of that in 2024, where it wasn't so much the people saying, you know, 2020 was stolen, it was rigged, it was a rigged election. And it was more people saying, I don't know, I'm not sure if I totally trust it, but it, and that yeah. is the worst sower of dissent than crazy people coming at you saying, you took our election. It's more the people going, well, we should know all the information first.
And to completely sideline this conversation, now they're going to start teaching that in Oklahoma schools.
Mm-hmm. Oh, right. boy.
Right. Now they are putting that into the curricula of Oklahoma schools to question the results of the 2020 election. That's a whole nother mind-blowing thing we don't have time to get into.
That'll be in their state-issued Bibles.
Yeah.
Exactly. And again, the notion that it's just simmering out there, people will say, Greg, gosh, wasn't there a lot of litigation about those voting machines? Wasn't there some contest there? And mm-hmm. I remember something. I don't recall the headlines. Yes, the headlines were that Dominion voting machines won a multi-million dollar defamation lawsuit against Fox News for misstating what happened here. Mm-hmm. And yet that aura out there, that atmosphere that says, yeah, there's something out there. We should make certain, whether it's in Oklahoma or frankly in Wisconsin, that we're very attentive to that in the future. Look what happened to Judge Griffin in North Carolina. Let's make certain that doesn't happen again here in our state. That's the fear.
This is why you're a lawyer.
Yeah.
Because he said Fox News misstated it. I just called him a bunch of blatant liars. That's what right, I do. But right, then I am not a lawyer, which is why I can do those things.
You're more accurate than I am, Jane. That's exactly what the court said.
And I still don't understand why people go to that channel for information when they were fined almost $1 billion for lying to you. But that's your choice. It's a free country.
Yeah.
We're going to talk a little bit about overseas ballots when we get back, because we talked to Democrats abroad numerous times.
Yes, we did.
About what those folks have to go through in order to cast a ballot. Jim Santel is our guest. He hosts Amicus, a law review Saturday mornings from 9 to 11 across the network. Stay with us. You are listening to Matt Nair on Air on the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to Civic Media. Find the latest news, information, and archives of all your favorite shows on the Civic Media website, civicmedia.us.
Good morning and welcome back to Matt Nair on Air. Jane Matt Nair, Greg Bach. Sweet Cal B on the board, coming to you from our studio at Radio Park in Racine. Join us, call or text. The number is the same, 855-752-4842. Leave a comment on the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and what used to be Twitter. He joins us every Thursday at this time, host of Amicus, a law review across Civic Media on Saturday mornings from 9 to 11. Great show. Highly encourage you to check it out. Jim Santel is here. Before we went to the break, Jim, we were talking about finally the North Carolina Supreme Court race has been decided, and the Democrat will retain her seat after months and months and months of delays by the Republican challenger, who decided to pick on overseas votes. And I just wanted to say very briefly, Jim, we talked to Democrats abroad mm-hmm. numerous times leading up to the 2024 election. It's not... There is a process that everyone has to go through. It's not just like, here's a ballot, I throw it in the mail, and everybody's going to count it.
Put it in a bottle and throw it in the water.
Yes, and it'll get there eventually. I mean, there is a process. The clerk of courts knows who these people are, right?
Right. And gives them the right information, gives them the right documents. And let me comment from my own personal experience about what happens on this end, because like many of your listeners, I also serve as a poll worker and an election chief. And when those military ballots come in, they're regarded as absentee ballots. You should see the precision with which they are reviewed. The documents that get them in, frankly, not in the bottle. I know, Greg, you're being silly about that. But quite literally, there is a very formal bottle that brings them across
yes.
the seas or whatever the transit points are. And when they're received here, again, the election workers, two and three of them review this, make certain that the documents are put together. They're basically, I know this is going to prompt an awful lot of inquiry, we then remake the ballot here based upon what they have done, again, with oversight and checking
right.
back and forth to ensure that their ballot is accurate, that it is properly put together, and that is then used as a part of the overall voting. Both overseas and here, it could not be tighter. I don't want to make the argument that it's even tighter than it would be if you vote in person or absentee. But it is clear that again, the notion that you can engage in fraud by doing this somehow and just sending a letter in is, once again, second time this morning, I'll use the word absurd
yes.
and unfounded.
And I think the other thing, too, we have to remember, and you said it, Jane, just before, is that this isn't a nationwide run election. These are run by
many local clerks.
And one, when you call into question the veracity of their voting, you're calling into question the integrity of their job. But also, it would take so much work to orchestrate a fraud on that level that it would fall apart before it could even get started.
Well, just the number of people you would need to pull it off.
Oh, my God.
Because we always know if you're going to commit a crime, you want to have as many people do it as possible because nobody ever leaks. There's never a weak link in that chain.
It's what we call the impossibility of the conspiracy. Again, even people who haven't engaged in poll working before, after one day, if you're a poll worker, you watch this and you say, how is it possible that any single vote could get through? At the end of the night, if for some reason the tapes do not comport with the hand count, comport with the other analyses, we stay there and look for that one vote and we find it, right? Somehow, it is just impossible to do. And Greg, following up on your notion that you're attacking not some national election, Constitution says, James Madison stuff, times, place, and circumstances are matters for the states, and states then regulate this. It is the clerks who do it. When you're attacking this process, you're looking right over there at City Hall, at the Village Hall, and saying, my clerk is engaging in fraud. That's the allegation you're making, once again, completely, completely unfounded.
And I read another article this morning. We are having a tough time finding people who are willing to do that job now because there was so much hatred and vitriol aimed at those people. This is really becoming an issue. So anybody listening, you may want to consider becoming an election clerk because we need them.
Or based on our conversation, they might say, no, thank you.
Or not. But this is going to be a problem further down the road.
It is. Or at least a volunteer with a group, or you can come in on your own to be an election observer and just spend the day. You can't become involved in the process. It's arm's length, but watch it. And then go home and talk to your family members, talk to your neighbors and say, I was there. If you believe me, there's nothing here to this notion that somehow voting can be undermined.
I'll have to go back and see if I can find it. A reporter from the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel after the 2020 election did an extensive line-by-line explanation of what happens with ballots in the chain of custody and all of that stuff. It's much more complicated than people realize, and there are so many checks on it all throughout the process. As you said, Greg, pulling off a massive voter fraud would really be quite an accomplishment.
Yeah.
And would be discovered very soon because, again, that one person would come forward and say, I've got a story for the New York Times. Guess what's going on in Milwaukee, Wisconsin, or Madison, or Washington, or Stevens Point, right? And again, doesn't happen. Does not happen.
Absolutely.
I trust Ron Johnson, who at the 2024 election said that of all places in Wisconsin, folks, Milwaukee's central count was running smoothly, efficiently,
all good to go,
accurately. So thanks, Ron Johnson. Big help there.
We appreciate that vote of confidence. Jim Santel hosts Amicus, a law review, Saturday mornings from 9 to 11 across the network. I highly encourage you to check it out. Download it as a podcast. You can do that, too. Thank you so much, Jim. Really appreciate your time. We will see you next week.
Jane, Greg, always a pleasure, a delight, and we'll see what happens between now and next Thursday. Do you think anything? I suspect so.
We'll have nothing to talk about at all. News is coming up next. Stay close. You are listening to Matt Nair on Air, coming across the vast, statewide, countrywide. Pick us up in Australia on the app. Civic Media Radio Network.
The national news cycle never stops, but it can be hard to find news about your local community. Civic Media is dedicated to providing quality local and state news coverage across Wisconsin. With the Civic Media app, you can get notifications about local stories that matter to you and your community. Find the free Civic Media app in your phone's app store and choose notifications from the menu to tell us what kind of news you want to hear about.